Here we are in mid-December with the festivals and holidays galore, Christmas just around the corner. Got a sprinkling of Christmas songs for you from local musicians I think you'll enjoy. I'll talk with Del Suggs about that. And with Skip Foster having stepped down from his position, what's up ahead for the Tallahassee Democrat? I think you'll enjoy this. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Brought to you by Widen Glass. Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids. Call Merrymaids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working. Every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Back to another exciting edition of this radio show we call Tallahassee Talks. We endeavor to bring you the people who are talking about stuff that gets talked about mostly in a given week or a couple of weeks. Hot topics, we'd say. Those people who are contributing sizably and sometimes without much notice to our welfare or to the shaping of this community. And we try to make sure that, of course, it's representative among all of the different ways in which we are as a town, bringing things to the world that we consider valuable, whether it's our own natural resources here. I think that's pretty much identified as trees. Forests, greenways, and of course, Capital Circle Northeast, its natural resource. Also known as the Tallahassee International Speedway. Wow. Unbelievable. Be careful, my friend. Holiday shoppers out there gonna change your daytimer. If they have their way, they're not watching where they're going. And of course, with several construction projects underway, traffic being rerouted here and there, that just adds to the delight of us all trying to find our way. Whether it's downtown or east side, north side, west side, it's all over. West side, not so much, I guess, anymore. That seemed to kind of, calm down for now. Have you done that? Have you driven the west side? It's kind of cool. You're getting all the way down to the airport without having to stop every 20 feet. That's nice. So Tallahassee, making its way in the world. I should add to that, of course, our rivers and parks and such. It's all good. That's Tallahassee for you. But it's often said our greatest natural resource being our people. Well, the vote is still out on that. We're hoping for that. I'm hopeful myself and make that claim often that if you look around and you find the people who are hard at it, trying to bring something good to the world, whether it's in entertainment, music, athletics, sports, education, social services, government, you name it. I mean, it's all over this town when it comes to how we want to rewrite, perhaps, some wrongs. We want to correct ourselves in ways that we've been amiss. And, you know, maybe we've been lax in paying attention to certain people in office who have taken advantage of, or people in business who likewise have sort of taken advantage of the situation. And at the same time, you know, we seem a bit, I don't know, resolved, undaunted in our determination to stay up, positive, forthright, optimistic. I don't know if you get that, but I hear it a lot. And I talk to people constantly, either in person or on the phone. Some of them end up here in the studio with me. One of those people that we met now many years ago, 4 years ago, roughly, Skip Foster, came to us with a fairly handsome set of achievements, and his resume was stout. And in my humble opinion, did a fine job. Anybody who has Skip Foster on their team just got an upgrade. And he was gracious enough to visit us on more than one occasion. Humble little radio show that we are, you know, he took time out of his day to sit in here with the moose. So I thought it would be appropriate. You may know this. We're losing one of our best. You know, president and publisher, Skip Foster, Tallahassee Democrat, he announced last Friday that he was stepping down after a 5-year run in which, you know, his operation had racked up impressive numbers, journalism awards abounding, in spite of industry headwinds that were not in favor of print or journalism at large. In fact, we were getting, you know, additional indications of that even back in early portions of the year. This article referring to Gannett, the owner of USA Today and thereby Tallahassee Democrat. This came by way of a guy named Tom Jones out of Pointer Press, talking about Gannett slashing jobs all over the country, and a cost-cutting move anticipated even before the recent news that a hedge fund company was planning to buy the chain. There you go. Don't you love those hedge funds, Carl? Huh? So it just goes on through this article talking about people being laid off or jobs being eliminated. And this one person being quoted, "I don't know how many newsroom jobs Gannett is cutting, but the move is hardly surprising. Continue to show waning numbers financially." That was actually Rick Edmonds, media business analyst for Pointner. They're kind of a think tank or third-party observer. He says, "I doubt the layoffs and buyouts have anything to do with the digital first takeover bid." Yeah, okay. Then again, in that world where negotiations are being made and stock prices are critical to the bidding in that process, yeah, well, that all has to do with the bottom line, doesn't it? Well, so it happens, and it's come our way at this point, because again, we're losing one of our best, and under his tutelage, the newspaper has not only brought to us some very fine people. You can just go down the list. Yeah, all the way from their editor in chief right down to the guy and gal working the beat out there. They're all very good writers and do a fine job in trying to cover a lot of territory and a lot of topics without a whole lot of resource. And of course, earlier in the year, the printing operation itself was shut down here. That was a blow, but it was, you know, coming, and handwriting on the wall sort of thing. So it changed a lot in terms of their daily operations. And I'm there's no doubt in my mind, Mr. Foster is a big boy, and he was reading the tea leaves long before, so I don't know that this came as any big shock, but certainly disturbing because I think for us as a community, given that we have one major news outlet, we have one newspaper. I think it makes us even more vulnerable in terms of how and why news reporting is critical to our awareness, if nothing else, our self-awareness. Let's hope for the best. We're going to hear from Skip Foster here in the second hour. I've got Del Suggs standing by with some comments about the local music community. We're going to have some Christmas songs for you, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill for men." And the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. This Christmas, may your heart be filled with the glory of that first Christmas night, now and throughout the new year. A message of hope from Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, 875-3908. Tasty Pastry Bakery, where Christmas cakes, cookies, and breads are ready for you. Call 893-3752. And the award-winning Tallahassee Family Magazine, bringing you real families, real stories, the real Tallahassee. Available at local retailers and online at tfmmagazine.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Give someone a break this Christmas. The difference that you make is Christmas. Show someone some love this hour. Within and from above, this power. Starry signs in ancient times light up these gifts for you and I. It's hard to see this from afar. We're so wrapped up in who we think we are. So let's present some hope for ourselves. Take leadership and love off the shelves. Do something that's good for our planet. We sure don't know how good we've had it. We'll need these gifts as time unwinds, as we untie this ribbon of time and learn these gifts will last forever, that love is the glue that holds Christmas together.
Music from Dave Murphy for this Christmas season, song entitled Christmas Gifts, a great example of the local contributions being made by our fine musicians. You know, Moose Magnificat is part of that mix for you. So whenever you have a moment, you can tune in to this fine streaming radio station, Moose Magnificat. Lots of different ways to do that. Talked to Jan Smith earlier, and she was saying, yeah, she listens on Alexa. Lots of other ways as well. There's something called Ocean, Radio Ocean out there. Radio Ocean is cool. It's on there, and it's on TuneIn. Easy enough to go to the website, download the app. We have our own little Moose app for you. So it's all good. The music from this community continues to help shape and demonstrate, I think, express who we are. Contributions abound among us and around us. And you're part of that. However you are contributing today or this week and through this season. You know, one of the ways you do that is you get involved with some of the charitable work, which brings to mind, of course, the fine work being done with Christmas Connection. Once again, this year, our 17th year in promoting Christmas Connection and all they do. You can check us out online. HelpChristmasConnection.com is the website. You've got all kinds of info there, including a map where you can leave a donation at any one of about four or five different locations, including all of the Gain Street Pies locations. Had a chance to sit down with my good friend Tom Flanagan here recently. And so I have this news item courtesy of WFSU News, Tom Flanagan. And I thought you'd enjoy hearing this conversation with Tom.
It was 40 years ago this year, Tallahassee's Christmas Connection was launched as an effort to make the season brighter for 25 Capital City families. The effort is now employing some unique tools and techniques to increase its reach and effectiveness. I'm Tom Flanagan. Run under the auspices of Catholic Charities, the annual campaign has grown dramatically, covering multiple Big Bend counties. But Brian Cerny had an idea to take the Christmas Connection to even greater heights. Cerny is owner of Alcom Advertising and Marketing and hosts the weekly Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny radio show.
We looked at it 17 years ago and we said, if we were able to do anything that would be substantial, we would put together a group of business owners who then would offer us a portion of their marketing budget and commit that to a very simple message. Help us help Christmas Connection.
Cerny says the idea took flight.
We're doing that with a group of local business owners, many of whom themselves have struggled in their own personal history. So they clearly identify with this mission of providing for families at a time, Christmas time, when, in the words of Dickens, need is felt even more.
At a time, adds Cerny, when the need is being felt by more.
There's year to year 800, 900, maybe 1,000 families. Without this kind of help, without our help, they will not know the joy of Christmas. I'm sorry. And as you probably have already put together, Hurricane Michael took what was a dismal situation and has turned that into a nightmarish set of circumstances for a lot of those families.
Once a donor identifies a particular family or families and their needs, Cerny says the items can be taken directly to the organization.
The Christmas Connection headquarters is out there on Century Park Circle. That's over there by the Tallahassee Community College. In fact, it's part of the facility they're using as part of the TCC campus. The good folks at TCC doing their part to help out.
There are also remote drop-off locations for donations.
We've got Gain Street Pies with their three locations. So you have a unwrapped toy for a boy or girl. You've got some canned food or a clothing item that you want to donate. And what we want to remember, it's not just little kids. A lot of teenagers in here too. You can go by any one of those Gain Street Pie locations and you'll be able to leave it there, and they'll make sure we have our own courier then that goes and collects all of those donations on a weekly basis.
And as with virtually everything else nowadays, the entire process can be accomplished online.
Lisa Harvey and her team, they've set up a link on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and then just do a search for the Christmas Connection, well, there's a gift list. You can actually find items on Amazon and make sure that those are donated on your behalf to the Christmas Connection.
Tallahassee's Christmas Connection, very much alive and well, 40 years after its founding, and using advanced technology and partnerships to make the season happier for struggling families across the Big Bend. For WFSU News, I'm Tom Flanagan.
My conversation earlier with Tom Flanagan, WFSU News. You stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up with Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Del Suggs. We're talking with Jeremy Ventura. And we're learning more about what these two knuckleheads have been up to. As a matter of fact, when it comes to knuckleheads, you've been crazy enough, Del, to think that Tallahassee has a lot to offer on a lot of levels, but musically especially. Years ago, you created, or along with, I guess, Steve Meisberg, some other folks, created this musicians, what was it called?
Yeah, the Musicians Association of Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had this vision that Tallahassee would be a music center along the lines of Seattle or Austin or Athens at the time, something that could really grow and become a real economic engine for the city.
Talking the 70s? How far back do we go?
Well, this would have been the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Not that far back.
Not that far back, right.
What happened?
Well, we had a good run, but I think we were just a little ahead of our time. As far as the organization, we had a strong membership and did real well for a few years, and then it kind of petered out because we just couldn't generate the kind of economic return I think that we had hoped to see.
Which really amounts to what? People developing a stronger hand with local venues, paying better?
Or? Well, that's part of it. Part of it was expanding the number of local venues. Part of it was expanding the number of recording studios and things like that, so there'd be more attention to the local scene. Part of it was involved getting people out. You know, we have a lot of great musicians in this town that never leave.
Right.
You know, I mean, my dear friend Pam Laws, you know, is a world class singer.
Right.
But she never, other than a couple of trips overseas, I don't think she ever played outside of Leon County. You know.
Wow.
And it just seemed like if we could get more of our people out touring and get them heard by more folks, that we have a chance to kind of break out of.
Is that individual, or is it a sort of general mentality or a mindset among people, do you think?
Well, I think it's just a challenge to do. I mean, even if you want a tour, that's a lot involved. You got to find the dates. You got to be willing to leave and go out and do them. You know, I mean, Charlie can tell you. I was, you know, with Sarah Mack and the band, that you know, it's always a struggle finding places that will let you come in and do what you do.
Right.
And then when they do book you, you got to get there, you got to get back, you got to take time off from work to go do that. If you have a day job, you got to get your family to understand and cooperate with you. It's a lot of challenges.
I look at that when I think of Drew Tillman or Jerry Thigpen, some of these guys that have said, I had to make that decision. I decided to be a family guy.
Sure.
And stay here and do my craft as best I can. Mm-hmm. Charlie, is that true for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real challenge, you know, and for the Sarah Mack Band, I mean, from the very beginning, we've always been a band that played original music. And we're not a bar band, and not that there's anything wrong with a bar band, but we're not. And we don't pretend to be. That greatly reduces the venues you can play, and you're kind of going places that are more like a concert, you know, finding listening rooms and stuff, and it's tough finding those, and it's tough. Yeah, Del is right. You know, you got to get out there and convince people to let you come in, and
the economics of that are a challenge.
The economics are a real challenge.
Now you're not picking up, even as meager as it may be in Tallahassee, you know, to get a retainer or to get a share of the door, maybe one thing. But if you're out there on the road, you've just incurred sizably more expense. not to mention all the logistics involved.
Right, you've got all the travel, you've got all the expense, you know, all the, yeah. that's involved with, you know, getting to the shows and doing that, and you're booked into a place that you may have never even been to before.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you might be getting a piece of the door, and that looks great, except that you don't have any idea what the door
what
is going to be.
Like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. What about the vintage venues around? We've got the Dixie. You guys have played the Dixie.
Yeah, we're playing. In fact, we're playing our last show. We'll be at the Dixie in February.
Really? And that's down in Apalachicola.
Yeah, and it's but you know they struggle to get people. You know, Dixie, the lady who runs it is Dixie, and you know she struggles to, you know, to get people to come in there and see shows. So not only do you have venues, you know, trying to get places that'll do venues, but also get people to come in and see original music.
And what's the problem there, Del? I mean, why are we not clamoring to catch the next performance of Del Suggs and Sarah Mack? You guys have a show coming up. When is that date?
Right on November 7th.
Yeah,
right.
So like a week.
Del knows that stuff. Like, back to me, I'm like, I don't know, sometime next
coming
week.
Right up, yeah.
November 7th, Del Suggs and the Sarah Mack Band, and it's going to be at Theater Tallahassee. Says right here in front of me. I could have just read this.
Excellent.
I don't need you to tell me this. You knew that part. Yeah. So Tuesday, November 7th, 7:30 p.m., doors open. What's the problem? Why is it that we're so...
I don't think Sarah Mack Band and I have a problem getting people out. I don't think that's a big... I mean, I'm sure we'll have a good house for that show, but you know, it depending on the musical style, it's a changing demographic. You know, those of us who've been playing music for 20 or 30 years, our earlier followers are now, you know, they have to either get home and get the babysitter yeah, home.
Easy there, Del.
Yeah, or else they
consider
have to,
who you're talking to.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Or they have to get up early. So, I mean, I understand that fully.
That's an interesting point. Most of Tallahassee, Leon County, works for government in some capacity, right?
Right.
County, city, state, whatever. And those jobs... they start at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And you gotta get home and get your kids to bed. And your show starts at 7:30 and you're gonna go till 10:30. That's not too bad.
That's reasonable, right?
But for a lot of these places, you know, show starts at 10.
Oh right? Yeah.
And what are
yeah.
you crazy?
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen.
And when you play with Sarah Mack, Sarah Mack wants to be in bed at 8 o'clock at night, you know. That's
Well, especially these days. Now, yeah. you know, she was on the show here a while back, and she had just then gotten married.
Right. Yeah.
And I asked her, I said, so tell me about married life. And she said, it's a lot more laundry. I thought that was telltale.
Yes.
Is that part of the move to decide to pull up stakes, to say, hey, I'm done, I'm retiring from this? What's
no,
the real story?
I don't really think so. I think we've been a band for 13 years. And if you look at the history of bands, to have a group, three people, that hung together for 13 years is just unheard of.
That's amazing.
In a music.
That's
yeah.
really amazing.
And we all still really like each other. We get along well.
That's good to hear.
But it just sometimes it just, you know, you feel like something has its natural life, and we felt like, you know, maybe coming to an end, and let's end while people still like us, you know, and like, hey, I thought you guys broke up 2 years ago, you know, that kind of thing,
right,
you know.
Right,
so,
right.
And we felt like we had some stuff we still could say, and we could go out on a high note. George Costanza, always leave them, you know. So, but our better Elvis, always leave them. Cheering for more. Right. So we have gotten a lot of hassles from people. I can't believe you guys are quitting. But we have a new album. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Please.
And this new album, the thing that's interesting about it is we are not recording it because we don't have time to record it. We don't have the money to record it. And we're not going to tour in support of it. So the only way you can hear the album is come hear us play it live. And we play it live straight through. Next at the Theater Tallahassee, we'll be doing that. Our set will be our new album. 10 new songs. And what we tell people, it's kind of like almost performance art, because we play the first song, we don't talk like you're listening to an album until halfway through when you flip the album over, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll talk, and then we'll play side two.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
fantastic.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's
and they're going to let you play too, though.
Yeah, I'm going to get to open the show. It's awesome. Yeah, it's really exciting. You know, Brian, I'll say this, you know, and Charlie knows, this is a really hard work. I mean, the thing about being a musical performer is it looks like you're having a great time up on stage, and it's fun. And for that, you know, 75 minutes you're on stage in the spotlight, it's awesome. But getting there is a real struggle, and it's really exhausting. Mm. It's really exhausting. I mean, I've played more the last year than I did the previous 2 or 3 years combined, and I really took some time off because I was just tired.
Yeah,
I'm just tired. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant battle, and you're always trying to get ahead, but just to stay caught up.
And stay at the top of your game.
Right.
So, Charlie, your point is, we're kind of there, and that's when we want to gently step back and say,
you know,
we're done.
And it's not like, you know, we've got solo careers we're pursuing or we've got other people we want to play with. Yeah. There really isn't anybody else I want to play with other than Clarence Sarah.
Let's talk about the real story, okay?
Well, Sarah's driving me crazy.
I was going to say.
And I just couldn't take anymore. And Claire.
There we go.
There is, I mean, there it's just, go. It's, and they're holding me back. You know, I could have been
news.
Somebody.
I just need to be my fake news, okay? That's all I'm asking, guys. Folks, you stay with me. We've got Del Suggs, Charlie Ventura. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back having some fun here with Del Suggs and Charlie Ventura talking about the Sarah Mac Band, this upcoming show that's this week, November 7th, Tuesday night, 7:30, over there at Theater Tallahassee. What can I tell you? Charlie's already sold you on this idea. This is a live album that they're going to be performing. You want to hear the latest from Sarah Mac Band, this is your chance. You don't do this, you're just out of luck. So, I don't know, can we just bring our cell phones and record?
Yeah, there are a lot of people doing that.
You don't mind as long as you get 20%, right?
And it's funny, after every show, people say, well, when can we buy this? We're like, were you listening? No.
Did you not hear me? Yeah. let's talk a little bit about that too, Del, because you've done a lot in this business and in, you know, Tallahassee and beyond. And you've already talked about the requirements for the artist. You know, what does it take to do even a modest number of dates, right? And you're committed. You've got to make this work. Then it comes down to the production of music. And people say, well, do you have an album? Talking with our friends, Boo Radley.
I mean,
and they went up to Nashville and they were just scraping to pull together a few dollars to try to pull that off. It is an expensive enterprise.
If you do it the right way, it's a pricey proposition. You know, one of the challenges is that everybody has a recording studio on their own computer. You know, and so everybody thinks they can make their own records, and that's great, you know, until you try it. It's like everybody has a kitchen, but can't everybody cook? You know.
And when we had Dave Murphy with us, and he's run his studio for a number of years, mm-hmm. and produced a lot of folks in this town, and Pete Winter and these guys, there is a level of artistry that you're talking about. That comes into play, and it's sort of like what you said about the performing artist. It looks so easy, but that's part of the magic, isn't it?
Part of the magic. When I first started learning to play guitar, I would listen to James Taylor, and I would try to play James, because James Taylor plays this, you know, it's just beautiful stuff. It just sounds so simple. Yeah. Then you try to play it, and you go, my word, that's astounding. Right. It's so incredibly difficult, but he makes it look easy.
Yeah. You know, about with what he does. And and you talk about Pete Winter and Dave Murphy, it's the same way. I mean, these guys are just masters at sound and, right. and recording and, yeah. And performance, and they're just they really make it look easy. I mean, but it's kind of a hidden economy. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that Pete Winter, he mixes and masters CDs and albums for people around the world. Huh. I mean, people send him work, send him a nearly finished product from France to finish it, and you know, and then he ships it back. Wow. You know, he does motion picture soundtracks. Mm. He does sound design. It's just remarkable. Anytime you stop by the studio, there's something going on, something really right. You know, unusual going on, and you just go, wow, you know, I had no idea.
Yeah, because Dave Murphy produced a couple of our things. I mean, just did great work. Yeah. Just great work.
Yeah. Are you going to go on performing and writing and such, or what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know. I tell people we have so much stuff we've got, because when we announced this, we'd get a lot of shows, and we've got so many shows. We've been working so hard on the new album. We got the Christmas. We do our Christmas show every year, so I've got to start working up Christmas music. I don't have time to think about it, and in the words of Scarlett O'Hara, I'll think about that tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, January, I'll think about it. I mean, I'm going to play. I don't know what that's going to look like, but it's
wait to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't have any plans.
You mentioned this too, Del. Tallahassee has a lot of great musical talent. Some of it is very well known. Some of these people never play here. When I'm thinking of George Clinton and people like that. Mm-hmm.
Sure, Marcus Roberts.
I mean, they just never play in Tallahassee because the market won't support what it takes for them to put on the show, right?
Right.
Not to mention the size of the venue and all those kinds of technical things. So Tallahassee's not in the best, let's say, possible situation there when it comes to having that opportunity with our own folks. We've had producers booking agents telling us, Tallahassee's always that sort of off thing, you know, that nationally they don't book big talent here, because unless they just happen to be passing by.
Right.
Because they don't see the money. They just don't get the ticket sales.
We haven't had the venues where you could do shows and make it profitable. There's a you know, different size, different level acts need different size venues. And so to make it happen, you've got to have the right venue for the right act, because you've got to be able to sell enough tickets to make it worthwhile, but not have the cost of the production, you know, be dramatically, you know, over your budget. It's a challenge. Everybody loves Ruby Diamond, but we only have one of those.
Right.
And the School of Music and the Theater School, they've got it locked down, 50 weeks out of the year. And then Opening Nights has, you know, the other 12 of the other 14. So it's almost
so you can
totally
have Tuesday or next Friday.
Right.
Which one do you want? Yeah. It's a challenge, isn't it, Charlie?
It's a real challenge.
Are you guys hopeful? What's the future look like for Tallahassee?
I think it looks bold. I serve on the board of the Council on Culture and Arts, COCA, and I'm thrilled at the amount of creative industry that's going on in this town. It's really remarkable. I mean, music, there's performing arts, there's the artistic community is just, it's really blossoming, and folks are starting to embrace that as a, you know, as an economic engine, and that's what's really important.
What are we missing? What else do we need to have happen among us as a population for that to come about?
Well, we just need more. I think we need more support. You know, you need more people who are willing to go out to shows, more people willing to go out to art galleries, more patrons that can go out and make these things happen, because you can't do a concert in an empty hall.
It's just that way.
Yeah.
What do you think, Charlie?
Well, on the world stage, I am not hopeful.
All right.
But
let's check that one off.
Yeah, right. It's like, whew, things aren't looking good right now. Mm-hmm. But in Tallahassee, I think there are some things going on. And I think in music-wise, I think there's some venues that are coming up that seem to be working. We've done a couple of shows now at the Junction of South Monroe. It's a nice little venue. I see that Fifth and Thomas is
Fifth
doing
and
more,
Thomas's, yeah,
a lot more shows
coming on.
I think the Warehouse is on there. Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of time. Even though that was the place where we've all played over the years.
Yeah.
But that whole area down in Gaines Street has changed. But there are some venues coming up, and I'll be interested to see what happens with the Theater Tallahassee. I think you helped in getting that, making that happen.
Yeah.
We had talked to them years ago about doing a show there. It didn't work out, but they right. seemed to be interested. And that's a nice venue. It is a nice venue.
Well, we talked about the Dixie Theater. Then there's the Monticello Opera
House. Well, the Monticello Opera House is just an amazing place to play. Yeah, but really? it's harder to get people to come. I mean, you still got to drive 20 miles yeah. out of town. And
yeah. yeah, and the Dixie is just it's just an ideal room. You've yeah. got a great built-in audience there. Right. Yeah. You've got a lot of support. There are local venues in Apalachicola like Bowery Station that support mm-hmm. local music, and so you've got a lot of people who are really primed to hear original music.
Yeah, know? Right.
Yeah. Well, that's all we have for you today, folks. Charlie Ventura, Del Suggs. The show is coming up this week. Del Suggs, Sarah Mac Band at Theater Tallahassee Tuesday night, 7:30. It's a free concert, right? No, wait a minute. No, there's ticket information here, Brian. Stop. Tickets are $20 at the door. Or you can buy them online. Just Google Theater Tallahassee.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a ticket link yeah. on their website.
And you'll
yeah,
be able to buy tickets. Right. You don't want to miss it. Del Suggs will be awesome, as always. Fantastic. And you'll have the Sarah Mac Band as part of their farewell tour.
Farewell. The fall farewell, as we call it.
Rest of us are staying yeah. in the lobby. Right. Weeping, mashing of teeth.
Yeah. Brian, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
For having
Thanks for
having
being
me.
With me.
It's always a joy to see you, Brian.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Conversation with Del Suggs, Charlie Ventura. You stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And Joseph went up to Bethlehem with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. This Christmas, may your heart be filled with the faith and wonder of that first Christmas night, now and throughout the new year. From Ray Gordon Brake Service, the brake experts on Greer Road, call 850-386-6133. Witten Glass on South Monroe since 1945, 850-222-5781. And by Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast, call 850-656-8453.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show. Don't forget, but of course, at all times, anywhere you may be in the world, you can access the archive that contains all of the broadcasts we've brought to you over the many years, now in our eighth season. And so, as it is today, we're going to bring you a replay of a conversation, a couple of conversations that I've had over that time with our good friend Skip Foster. I mentioned this to you in the first hour. Many of you know this. You've been following the news. I mean, I think Rick Oppenheim and I are probably the only two people left in town who actually read the paper, like holding it in our hands kind of paper. I don't know. That's just a guess. But I know that there are among us, there are those who, you know, are old school in that way, and there's something sort of, I don't know, pleasurable, meaningful. There's a whole kind of science, by the way, about our tactile experience with print. Yeah, what it does for us emotionally. Yeah, I won't waste your time on that. But trust me when I say there's something there that we find satisfying. Well, Skip's part of that whole mix, and he's brought to us a satisfying demonstration of his talents, his leadership skills. So much so that there were other organizations who were tapping him for their, you know, particular objectives. United Way was a good example. He was chairman of the board for United Way during his time with us and helped to guide them through what was a difficult time of transformation and got them refocused on philanthropic goals and such. He was also the leader for the Greater Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce Board, pushing the business community to diversify local economy, attract new industry. Yep, quoting here from Jeff Berlew, by the way, who did a great job in putting this article together. And he, in talking with Skip, you know, he says, at a time when journalism is messy, complicated, and frenetic, Foster's vision always crystal clear. This is William Hatfield, the editor. And he inspired us to pursue a renaissance in the newspaper journalism field. And he says, I'm grateful for the clarity and purpose he brought to my life and my career. You know, it's troubling to me, I guess, with the notion that perhaps we're seeing not only the reshaping, cataclysmic sort of redistribution of how news is presented to us on a daily, if not moment-by-moment basis. Even the passing of people like Skip Foster from the scene, you know, who will no doubt, knowing Skip, he'll land on his feet. Absolutely. Any organization that has the opportunity to secure his talents and gifts and contributions will be well off. And hopefully it'll be here in town. Maybe that'll happen. Hate to lose him from the ranks of leadership among us. But in any case, you have to stop and ask, are people like Skip Foster just not that important to what we'll call it the news industry, news / entertainment industry has determined is most profitable to their ends? Wow. Is that where we're, I guess that's where we are. It's not unlike, if I may stretch a little bit, and this will tip the hat to Skip Foster, who at his roots is a sports reporter. You're going to hear that, by the way. We've got three segments from different periods of time talking to Skip about his early days here in town. This was one of his first stops when he first got to Tallahassee. But I started to say, if you look at what's going on in collegiate athletics, how that game has changed. And it's not a game that's played out on a ball field anymore. It's played in boardrooms. It's played with balance sheets because it's all one big corporate game about making money. Well, okay. Somewhere, somehow, there has to be a movement that says, even though we may not be the most profitable, we're going to continue to pursue our mission. Yeah, I know I'm idealistic here. But go back and watch, this is Christmas time, go back and watch Scrooge. Watch how it is that in those days, you know, mid-19th century, the same kind of question was at hand. They were going through an industrial revolution. And that revolution brought about the demise of business that was dedicated to the mission at hand. So the question is, what's our mission? Where do we want to go? If that is reduced to how much money we make, God help us all. Now I think we need to hear another Christmas song. How about Del Suggs? This is called Beautiful Star of Bethlehem.
Far through shadows dim, giving the light for those who long have gone, guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Star of Bethlehem, shine on.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. Tallahassee Talks is on the air, and we are delighted to have with us Skip Foster. He is the publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, newly arrived. Paint isn't even dry yet, they'd say, and yet he has been kind enough to make his way here. And so let's welcome Skip Foster. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
It's
very happy to be here.
It's a pleasure. And in fact, I think you said it's been 8 weeks since you have taken the post.
That's right.
And there you are. And you're still here.
I am.
You haven't run away.
It's been the most, I've said this a number of times, it's been the most fun I've ever had in the business. I've been in the business for over 25 years and just having a ball.
Wow.
Love being here.
And that started where for you?
That started in North Carolina. I was a sports writer for a few months in Hickory and then ended up spending the bulk of my career in the Gastonia, Shelby area of North Carolina, just west of Charlotte.
And through the course of the last, would you say, 25 years mm-hmm. then, did you set out initially to say, hey, someday I am going to be the publisher?
No. No, not at all. I would have...
Was this thrust upon you?
working for Sports Illustrated probably would have been my, you know, kind of dream job initially. But just started to move through the newsroom and get more into management. And I think the idea of leading people started to become appealing, and so yeah. That's when things started to change a little.
Former President Eric Barron, Florida State University, was here some months ago prior to his departure, not long before his departure, and I asked him that question. I said, what did you want to do when you were a little kid? You know, did you mm-hmm. want to be like a college president someday?
No, I bet not.
No, he said, no, I wanted to be a geologist.
Oh, wow.
He was 8 years old when, for his birthday, he asked for a geology kit.
That's
what does that
great.
Tell you?
Yeah. Yeah. Things change.
So, as in true to form, you know, as a scientist, he works within that way of thinking administratively.
Right.
So here you are, the publisher of this newspaper, and for that matter, the newspaper for Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. Huh? You still come at it from that sports writer sort of point of view, or how
well,
does that
my
as far as you know?
My family and the people that work with me would probably say that I use too many sports analogies when I'm trying to make a point. So, but
is that possible though?
If it is possible, I'm getting there. So I can always find a sports analogy to illustrate.
We love
something.
That in this town. Come
well,
on.
Well, I guess maybe I am
company.
In the right place for that.
I mean, come on.
That's right. That's right.
And we are ripe with opportunity
yes.
for you to,
yes.
to bring us all the metaphor you possibly
that's right.
can stuff in one sentence. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that a minute. I have so many questions for you. When you look at the last year, let's go with that, mm-hmm. And all of the sports controversy mm-hmm. that has been a part of our world,
right?
Tallahassee has fallen into this kind of national scrutiny, spotlight, whatever, courtesy of Jameis Winston and all of that in Florida State, and it's not over, is it?
Right.
It's ongoing, apparently.
Right.
Now it's this documentary that was released the other day, and when such things happen, in your experience anyway, in the sporting world, we'll say, or even for a community. Is this even a silly question, but what is the role of the media, do you think, or particularly a newspaper? How do you approach that topic? Is there a point at which you stop and say, enough's enough? We just, you know what? We've beat this thing to death. It's an old story. Nothing really new here. Or do you say, you know what? We report the news as it comes. I mean, kind of how do you make that call?
Well, I think it's just about truth. And so truth and relevance. And that is, you know, those things seem black and white, but can be highly subjective. I think we saw a lot of different truths with the Winston story coming from different perspectives in and out of town. You know, I was viewing that from Fort Walton Beach, so I was, you know, not an insider on that. I wouldn't wish that series of events on any newspaper. The people I've encountered at the paper don't, you know, aren't commuting in from Jacksonville every day. You know, they live here, they have family here, they go to church here, they have kids playing Little League baseball.
Yeah.
You know, they want greatness for this community, just like everybody else does. It just so happens that we are a part of the accountability system in this community. We're the entity that is charged with holding the powerful accountable. And so, you know, it's when you are a plaintiff in a legal action, you want to demonize the defense attorney and think that he's a bad person and goes home and, you know, is a devil-worshipping criminal. But the truth is, he's just playing his role in the system that we have, and he's probably got a lovely family and gives a lot to charity and does all sorts of other great things.
Yeah.
And so,
You've said that the last 8 weeks have really been enjoyable. Do you hope that that's going to continue, or do you feel like this is sort of the prenuptial, or will the shine wear off at some point, or do you expect that once you become more engaged in the community, that you'll have to give up some of that freshness, or how do you?
Well,
how do you
I think
handle
so.
That,
I One of the I've spent so much of my time in Shelby, in particular, in North Carolina. So when I went to Fort Walton Beach, a huge eye opener for me was the value of fresh eyes. It wasn't that I was any smarter than anybody. I know that's not the case, but just being able to see things. You know, when you walk in your house, you don't notice all of the furniture. When you walk into someone else's house, you're immediately taking stock of all of those things and saying, oh boy, that mirror would have been better there, or I really love that table. And so that fresh eyes, being able to come into an operation like the Democrat that's been through a lot of change and just look at things freshly is just tremendous fun for me. And when you've got plenty of talent, plenty of resource available, it's just been just fun. Fun's the only way I can put it. I love going to work. I have to drag myself away, and also, you know, getting the paper, you know, connected in the community is also something I really like. So I've joked my new friend Mark from the CEO at Capital Regional Medical Center. You know, he's also new, and we've bumped into each other at five or six different things. It's kind of become a running joke of getting out in the community, and, you know, I really enjoy that.
Yeah, you have to make your rounds.
Yes.
Well, we're certainly delighted with the thought that you've made us part of that in your journey thus far.
Happy to do so.
And it's a pleasure. We have with us Skip Foster. He's the publisher, newly arrived to Tallahassee for the Tallahassee Democrat. And you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Family Magazine has teamed up with local businesses across our community, asking all of us to help Christmas Connection provide for needy children and families. Bring an unwrapped toy or article of clothing this week to Christmas Connection headquarters or one of their convenient drop-off locations. You'll find the locations on our website, helpchristmasconnection.com.
wishing you the joy and peace of Christmas from Tallahassee Leon Federal Credit Union with locations in Tallahassee and Crawfordville, Dr. Eve James with Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, Sperry & Associates Planning, Design, and Construction Services, Kane Street Pies with three locations, Witten Glass on South Monroe since 1945, Sellers Tile in Tallahassee, and Truck and Car Concepts on Mahan Drive near Weems Road. Be a helper and help Christmas Connection make a difference in the lives of children and families across our community. Find out more at helpchristmasconnection.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back talking with Skip Foster, generously giving us his time this morning as we talk about the Tallahassee Democrat, his role now as the publisher, all of 2 months behind him. And you, in the conversation, you were talking about the value of fresh eyes. So that makes me very curious. As you look at Tallahassee coming to us with those fresh eyes, what do you notice?
Well, that's a hard one. I notice a lot. I mean, I think that, you know, I notice a town that is obviously very proud of its heritage as the capital city, as the center of political life, particularly for the upcoming 6 or 8 weeks. I see a town also proud of its heritage in terms of education and the universities and TCC. Mm. I see, you know, and again, it's 8 weeks, so I reserve the right to change all of these opinions in the next 8 weeks. But it seems to me the issue of, you know, growth and what Tallahassee looks like in the future is something that's been wrestled with for some time. Obviously, there is a, you know, one of the great appeals of this community is its natural beauty, the natural mm-hmm. resource that mm-hmm. that it is, mm-hmm. and so you know that's just a truth. On the other hand, I think there's an understanding with a significant segment of the community that, hey, the greatest way to, you know, a way to put that in danger is to not grow. Mm. And so, you know, when I look at that, when I look at, for instance, the economic development wins mm-hmm. in the last 10 or 20 years, I mean, that's not a very long list. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's going on there? How come we're not getting those opportunities? Because ultimately, you know, the greatest way to protect the resource, in my opinion, is to have growth.
And, is it that we major on the minors, do you think? And again, I'm asking you to mm-hmm. make these sort of calls with you having only been here a short time.
Right.
So if you care to speak in a more abstract fashion, that's fine.
Sure.
But I will say, and let me help you out, I think so. I mm-hmm. think that we find ourselves worrying about that particular tree
right.
rather than looking at our community at large, and if we cut down a tree in the face of a well managed
right.
Approach to environmental resources, and in the process create an opportunity. This, I think, it's called the Magnolia Center, going up on property over there that for many, many, many years belonged to a private citizen, sold the property. There were pine trees that were taken, and we had one guy over there with a can of spray paint
right.
saying, you know, you are the enemy.
Right.
Really?
Well, you know, look, these fresh set of eyes drive around and say, running out of trees is not something that we're in danger of doing here. So, I mean, I guess that, and again, even if I thought that, you know, we were a few amount of trees or other natural resources away from endangering the overall quality of the resource, you know, I would also believe that not growing, not adding to this economy, not adding to the base on which, you know, taxes are collected
yeah.
would be the thing that would put that resource right. in the most danger.
Right.
So
when you talk with the local legislative representatives. We'll talk mm-hmm. about county and city commissioners, right? And most of them, if not all of them, have been here talking mm-hmm. with me about their frustrations in trying to have the kind of tax base that you're talking about
right.
that enables them to do the things that they really, really want to do.
Right.
And it's a very frustrating proposition.
Yes.
At the same time, hearing from people who say, stop, don't do anything, hold back. And some of that, I think, is rooted in a kind of old way of thinking about this community that reminds me of the days when, you know, a handful of families owned most of the land. Mm-hmm. That seems to have changed decidedly. Mm-hmm. But there's still that remnant of, hey, we don't need anybody's help. We're fine. Leave us alone. We certainly don't need to innovate or recreate. And by heaven's name, we don't need to be cutting down a tree to
right.
get there.
Right.
And I don't want to pick on any one point of view there, but if the newspaper plays a role in helping us better appreciate the bigger picture, how does it do that?
Well, I mean, that's...
Help us now. We need you.
Yeah, I think, well, so I'll bring it back to more of an internal focus at the paper. You know, we have lost our editorial voice, and so that's an important thing that
how
I'll
so?
Be working to get back. I mean, from a sheer quantity standpoint,
yeah.
you know, we just don't have, there are not enough days where the paper is charting a course for the community through local editorials. And
yeah.
so we've yeah. talked about that. We have a plan in the works to get that rectified and to kind of get our voice back.
Yeah.
And then I think there's been some key content areas where we've lost focus. So we're now advertising for two new reporting positions. They're not being created because we lost something else. These are just two new positions that we're adding. Mm-hmm. One of them is an economic development business reporter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I see these plans on how the sales tax money that's allocated to economic development are going to be used through these new corridors, mm-hmm. through the new arena district, you know, we ought to be reporting on that. That's
right.
That goes straight to the issues
right.
we're talking about. How do
right.
we grow in a way that's responsible and sustainable mm-hmm. and kind of fits mm-hmm. the mission of the county? The other is K-12 education. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got higher education reporting. Well, I mean, I get it. I think we've got a couple pretty two or three important higher education institutions here, but that doesn't mean that, you know, secondary education, K-12, is not also important. And so that's a couple things, you know, three things we'll be doing internally to kind of ramp up focus on these key areas.
It's my understanding, too, that your online presence and the success that you've had with Tallahassee.com
mm-hmm.
is noteworthy.
Oh, huh. Yeah. We've done a really bad job in our business. This isn't a Democrat thing, but, you know, this newspapers are dying thing, we get a chuckle over it at the newspaper because our audience has never been greater. If you combine our print and online reach, we're reaching more people than we were even at the heyday of print circulation. You know, mm-hmm. 6 million page views a month. Mm-hmm. At Tallahassee.com, our digital traffic up 900% year over year. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where it's the go-to place in the community for content, and the folks here have done a fabulous job utilizing other channels
right.
of communication,
right.
Video, yeah. other ways to communicate with folks, social media, and so it's been very effective. Now, what we got to do is get that message out to advertisers because they're missing
you
an
still
opportunity.
Have to carry water, don't you?
Yeah, and it's too bad because they're really missing our channel as a part of their mix.
I
when
feel your pain.
Too
right?
many of them. Yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
We there is no such thing as a free radio show.
That's right.
Any more than there is a free newspaper
right.
or a free lunch. Skip Foster, our guest this morning, the publisher for the Tallahassee Democrat, newly arrived. And already a good friend of this radio broadcast.
People trust Sellers for better tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Sellers Flooring Advisor Ryan Fitzgerald.
We understand most people don't come in with great knowledge of what they're looking for or what they need. So at Sellers, what we try to do is use our expertise to guide you through the process.
Get Sellers working for you.
We make it easy, and we have the experts on staff to get you where you need to be, and we give you the options.
On Capital Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive, call 656-8453. Online at SellersTile.com.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.
And the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. This Christmas, may your heart be filled with the glory of that first Christmas night, now and throughout the new year. A message of hope from Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy, 875-3908. Tasty Pastry Bakery, where Christmas cakes, cookies, and breads are ready for you. Call 893-3752. And the award-winning Tallahassee Family Magazine, bringing you real families, real stories, the real Tallahassee. Available at local retailers and online at tfmmagazine.com.
Hello, brothers and sisters in Radio Land. This is blues guitarist Jerry Thigpen. Don't you move, because this is Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are. It seems like we've not gotten too far down the line with our town hall meeting discussion, which was really a big part of what I wanted to talk to you about. When you think of the evening as such, were there moments in the town hall meeting particularly that really stuck out in your mind, that you were sort of, wow, that never occurred to me, or wow, I'm surprised they said it that way? I mean, what were some of those moments for you?
Well, I think the EDC discussion was interesting. I think the city discussion on the 4 a.m. Closing time was interesting. I had one city commissioner say, the forum was the first time I really understood how folks, my colleagues, why they, did what they did. Mm. And so that was good. I mean, I think that's, if you can get that kind of, if you get insight that surprises the people up on the, platform, then that's probably a good thing. You know, it's hard. I mean, I worried a lot about, time and fairness, and I probably ended up leaving EDC earlier than I wish I had, just because I didn't want to not get into other things. And I think right now, while there's a ton of issues to get to, that's pretty important space as this new organization is going to take place. There's a lot of money involved, not only with Blueprint, but, as you mentioned, with the total and potential investment here with, with new business coming. So, I thought it was good. I mean, I think that there's certainly topics I wish we could have gotten to.
Mm-hmm. So you were calling the shots on that. You had a list of these topics in front of you.
I had a list of really more than we could talk about, and then, worked in audience questions. Sometimes there was redundancy there, which was fine, which, meant I could give them credit for a question and didn't have to come from me. Right. Live and learn on those things, definitely something that can be better. But we got to a lot of, I thought, a decent amount of important things, the CRA, the reality is my list of stuff for the city was longer for them than for the county. Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting to see them start to, you could see the fissure developing between the last, the last city and first county person, and there clearly is some tension maybe, and friction, I think, between the two.
Who would that be?
Well, I think between the city and the county in general.
As such, okay.
So there were times when I think Commissioner Daly talked about how they had brought up some sort of a proposal. I'm forgetting what the subject was on, and it had never been acted on by the city.
Right, right.
There was some clarification between them on crime figures, and most of the crime I believe it was Commissioner DeLoge talking about most of the crime is within the core.
Right.
You know, so
right.
he managed to not say within the city, the core, the urban core, which is, you know, I think a tactful, if not transparent way of saying that's where all the crime is over there. It's not with us. So, you know.
Because after all, the sheriff department, we've got this under
that's
control.
Right. That's right. Consolidation was really an afterthought question for me, but it was some very sharp distinctions there. It was
Indeed.
Pretty clear that the city's not interested in it at all, and the county
Indeed.
Would be very interested in discussing that. So
what I love about that is you're like the Uncle Jerry that showed up at Thanksgiving dinner and didn't get the memo
mm-hmm.
that we never, ever ask Aunt Tildy
right.
about that.
Right.
When you were a young woman, didn't you?
Yeah.
And, you know, so you just like, see, I don't get this. What's wrong? And of course, I thought the comment from Commissioner Ziffer was sort of odd, too, in that he talks about how competition is good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, in business, because it's going to drive down price and increase productivity, let's say, and maybe even quality of product. But in government, it seems like consolidation means just more better. I mean, you get
right.
less duplication. And what if the city shared some of its money, like utility money, with property tax money that the county has that the city will never have?
Right. Yeah, it doesn't strike me as realistic that deputies and city officers are really doing a better job because there's somebody, a counterpart patrolling on the other side of the county.
I made more busts than you did last month.
Yeah.
Because you're a city and I'm county.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. So.
And when you talk to law enforcement, they don't think that way. They just think good guys, bad guys. You know, we got a job to do. Now, the sheriff, of course, came under fire this week because of his position
right.
on Carrion and stuff like that. Well, I mean, yeah, but that could be city, county, doesn't matter. See, and at that level, we don't really care. We just want to know, am I safe?
Right.
Which then harkens back to this question of the consolidated, what's it called, dispatch agency.
Right.
CRA.
CDA.
CDA, beg your pardon.
Right.
I'm thinking CRA, CDA, yeah. The CRA. See, there's another acronym.
Right.
The dispatch agency came under all kinds of controversial sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
The death of the sheriff's deputy, Chris Smith. None of that came up at the town hall meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a question from the floor.
Right.
Granted, you had a, you know, long list and not a whole lot of time. But I was just surprised that none of the citizenry represented stood up and said, are we okay?
Right. Well, I think that's quieted down a little bit. You know, there was a leadership change there. And, yeah. I, you know, that whether that was actually the problem or not, at least there was the perception, you know. That
but even as of a couple
right.
of weeks ago,
right.
you got the lawsuits
right.
filed
that's right.
from those who were dismissed.
Yeah.
So you would have thought, well, wait a minute, we're going to have to pay that if they – I mean, are we going to settle here? I mean,
yeah.
And whose money is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that the, you know, the CDA is a process and, you know, there have definitely been growing pains. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I know they either have or had a consultant do a Motorola
right.
assessment. And so,
right.
you know, I think there's some processes working there. Definitely something I probably should have asked about.
Well, and again, I thought the focus of your questioning seemed pretty thorough. I just think that with us, I mean, I hang it on us. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this isn't your job to get us to ask the right questions. I mean, you're there to represent what you know to be, you know, topics of concern.
Right. Well, CDA was on my list.
See?
And I mean, honestly, till you mentioned it, I guess I thought that I had asked about it, but now
yeah.
I don't think I did.
Yeah.
So,
and with that, when you ask a question, you know, then the thing starts to go, and
right.
so you kind of run with it. I am an advocate of us all growing up just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for me, Tallahassee is in her adolescence here,
mm-hmm.
and it's time for us. As we mature,
mm-hmm.
Then to see opportunities like this one that you were kind enough to host, an MC, moderate, mm-hmm. That we just take more opportunity with it.
Yeah.
And we get more people involved in not only the conversation, but in the dispensation of that information. I'd like to see several news organizations locally providing that kind of access.
Right.
And
right.
It's the technological parts of that are so simple. Mm-hmm. I mean, golly sakes, we did it. If we can do it,
right.
Any of these organizations right. could do it in right. spades.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, God bless Tallahassee Democrat for doing their part. And Sean Rossman, who I thought wrote a pretty good article.
Yeah.
Is it Rossman or Roseman?
Rossman.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah. Just named our Employee of the Year.
Really?
Yep.
Well, cool. So he's up there with, I guess, President Thatcher, because, you know, he's employee, and then you've got the person of
the year. Yeah, he's
lovely.
In the
and
pantheon.
You've got the 25 women now.
Right, just came out.
You're just knocking them down.
When people say there's only bad news in the paper, we've got plenty to respond.
All right, folks. We've pushed this about as far as we can. He's got work to do. And our good friend, Skip Foster, friend to many and certainly friend to the news hounds who are trying to keep in touch with what's going on in this here fair city. Skip Foster, publisher of the Tallahassee Democrat, our guest. Thank you, sir, for making it even more special. Folks, we are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. We are going to be here again next Saturday morning. We'll be looking for you. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.